the corner had like two or three of these Coca-Cola big signboards. Enjoy Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, it's the real thing. Coca-Cola, you know, whatever they say. So Srila Prabhupada said you should write to this company and tell them to change the name of their drink to Hare Krishna. And then they can keep the same drink, even, he said, even though he said we don't want to drink it. But then everybody will be reading, enjoy Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, it's the real thing. And all over the world, actually, I don't know what they say in Germany about Coca-Cola. In different countries, they say different things. So they analyze the mentality of the people. But anyway, the basic idea, enjoy, you know, life begins with Coca-Cola. So he was saying like that. And in Chicago, the airport is called O'Hare Airport, H-A-R-E. So he told the devotees, you should tell them to change the name to O'Hare Krishna Airport. And actually, one devotee went to the airport manager and told him, they should, you know, my spiritual master said you should change the name. They didn't change it. But at least when devotees always think, oh, Hare Krishna. So the idea is to chant all the time, actually. Not just sometimes, not just on, you know, Saturday night or Sunday or whatever. But it's a constant prayer. And that's normal for any, you know, religious teaching. You should pray all the time. And this is a prayer. It's not just some... But even if someone is chanting just for musical entertainment, or just jokingly, or just even criticizing, they will get purified, but it takes longer that way. Just by thinking of Krishna, even if we're purified or unpurified, you might have heard of Om Pavitro Va Apavitro, that if one is purified or unpurified, if he remembers the lotus-eyed Krishna, he chants the holy name, then he'll become purified. The Prabhupada said, even if a drunken person that just drinks it, he must have, in America we call them winos. They don't eat, they only drink wine. And that's their food. And there's enough food in there, grape juice. So he said, even if they, when they drink the wine, they think, oh, Krishna's made this nice taste. Because Krishna says, Apsoham, I'm the taste of water. Or it could be just the taste of liquid. So he said, even if that person, when he drinks the wine, if he's thinking, oh, this is Krishna, this taste is nice, then he'll become saintly, but it'll take a long time. Much better to be purified and chant the holy name in a devotional way and following the you know, regulated principles and chant with faith that this will purify me, this will relieve me of all suffering. This is actually the Bhavoshadi, the medicine, the great medicine. Everyone is suffering, and actually suffering is only due to the disturbed mind, because the external condition, if someone's, you know, mind is in certain condition, they won't be affected by hot and cold or physical bodily pain or things like that. They know they're not the body. So when we chant, this is actually the medicine and to cure all diseases, because the disease is part of the material body. But chanting purifies us of the sinful reactions, because Krishna is the supreme cure, and relieves us from having to take another material body and enter into the spiritual world. So it's a cure for all problems. But because we're not so pure in our chanting, it takes time. But progress, anyone who's chanting, any chanting, one will make progress. We have many devotees that in the first chanting, they thought those stupid Hare Krishnas or something. What are they doing? But they started chanting, and then they got purified by association of the holy name. So Lord Chaitanya, he came, Lord Nityananda, it said that Lord Nityananda brought this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. He brought this from the Goloka, from the spiritual world, from the Krishna planet. Goloka, Hare Nam Sankirtan. It's come from Goloka. It's not a product of the material world. It may appear to be alphabets. And some people can chant, and they're only chanting the alphabets because they're chanting without any faith in Krishna. But it's not just ordinary sound vibration. It's transcendental. Krishna appears in this way. He very kindly puts his name all over the place, especially Rama. Right? In Israel, even, there's so many towns named Rama. The one where Mr. Arafat was living is called Ram Allah. There's another one called Rama. There's Ram Ghat, Ramanat. There's so many. When you go around, you see so many Rama. And I was just in Greece, so in their language also Rama, O Rama, that word, you have the same word, panorama, right? Everybody has that. O Rama means really big or something. So they have a video Rama shop, and there's so many Ramas. What do you have?
Margarine.
Oh, Rama, yeah, that's all over the world, that Rama. Rama margarine. So people, that's what Krishna is very kind. He puts the holy name. I used to watch one show when I was 12 years old or something, because I liked that bowling game. So it was professional bowling. It was called Bolo-Rama. Bolo-Rama. So that was my first contact, although I didn't know. But I was waiting for that, every Sunday morning. And they find in America they make so many things. If there's a big event or a big sale, they call it something Orama. But that's what it's from Greek language. It means very big. So Krishna, Rama in Sanskrit means the greatest pleasure, greatest spiritual pleasure. Lord Rama Chandra, Ram, when he killed that Bali. Bali was still dying, and he was mad at Ram. He said, "Why did you do this?" He said, "Who named you Rama? That's wrong." He said, "That's supposed to mean you give pleasure to everyone, but you didn't give any pleasure to me. You killed him. I will curse the person who named you Rama." But then he changed. But so we chant Hare Krishna and Hare Rama. Krishna means the greatest pleasure, the all attractive. And we contact Krishna, that's the whole idea. We all want to be with somebody great, somebody rich, somebody famous, somebody beautiful, somebody learned, somebody powerful, right? Or even somebody renounced. But Krishna is all of those things in full. There's no one, the richest man in the world, what does he have? Even on this earth, his wealth is very small compared to the total wealth, right? But Krishna owns everything. The whole universe, many universes, all the wealth of all the universes, all owned by Krishna. Krishna is the most powerful, most influential, the most famous, the most beautiful, especially. Of all the qualities of Krishna, the beauty is the most best and most comprehensive. All his other qualities. So that's why we try to chant more and more. We should try to hold as many festivals as possible. And by telling others about chanting and teaching the glories of the holy name, then our faith will also increase. And when we have more faith, then of course we'll want to chant more, and we'll get more benefit. That's one of the offenses, to chant without faith. You know, someone's just thinking, well, I have to do this, it's my religion. And so, you know. But no, it is absolute, it's Krishna. There's no difference. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's not that he's just in the name, but he is. There's no, Krishna is absolute. So his name, his activities, his deity form, the prasadam, everything about Krishna is Krishna. It's just completely spiritual. And by chanting, someone asks Srila Prabhupada, what do you get from chanting? Famous question. Right? Because usually in religions they say you will get something, right? At least in Africa, in Nigeria especially, and there's big signboards everywhere, prosperity, you know, they call it spiritual, but you'll get prosperity. Even in the newspaper, somebody was criticizing that the so-called preachers, they threw out the whole idea of religion. They just promise you'll get rich, you'll get protected from curses, or, you know, you'll be healthy. Material benefits. So someone asked, and he said, you get all you get from chanting, you'll get more chanting. So someone might think, well, wait a minute, I want fame, I want beauty, I want, you know, prosperity. But those things are not always good for someone's spiritual advancement. Real prosperity means one will be happy, satisfied with, you know, whatever he has. And when he's really with Krishna, then if we can really get with Krishna, just totally absorb ourselves in the holy name, then we won't have any problems. All the problems we have are just due to however much we're separated from Krishna. So then we can't see things properly. We get in the dark. We get bewildered because we think that we don't see that Krishna is behind everything. And the more we chant and of course hear about Krishna, talk about Krishna, Lord Chaitanya came, he was just chanting all the time, and anyone who approached him, he would just tell them to chant. Even thousands of people would come to, you know, wherever he was, hundreds of thousands, and he would just come out and say, chant the holy name, and chant all the time. And they did. And Prabhupada, he told everyone to chant. We're called the Hare Krishna movement. Everybody knows it by the Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada made Krishna famous. Almost every other movement has the name of the whoever founded that movement. Right? They promote the name of the guru. The Prabhupada promoted Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And that is actually helping turn back the Kali Yuga. The more we chant, we purify ourselves, we purify the wherever we are, and we purify the whole universe, that sound vibration, because it's Krishna, it's penetrating far beyond, you know, our own perception. So you all know how to chant, everybody likes to chant. And we need to come together and chant. We need to organize many, many festivals, big or small, whatever our capacity is, and promote the chanting of the holy name. You have Rath Yatra coming up in a while, so a lot of chanting. The week before that is the Polish Woodstock Festival, a lot of chanting. So much kirtan, so many people, you know, getting the holy name. There was different. We were chanting, and there's one tent called the meditation tent. But it's so noisy all around, we just have kirtan on it. So I went in there quite late at night. And I just started to say something and to talk, and you know, no, don't talk, chant, sing, you know. And as long as we were chanting, the group would, they'd sit there, you know, whatever they were doing. Some would chant, some would meditate. And as soon as we stopped chanting, everybody leaves. But they like that. You know, it's a, anywhere you go, the holy name, and any, there's no need for translation, there's no need for, you know, any kind of interpretation or explanation. Anyone who chants and hears the chanting, they'll experience, you know, association with Krishna, and according to their, you know, relationship with Krishna, they'll experience, you know, so many varieties of pleasure. So we're very fortunate to have this holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And anyone can chant, Prabhupada said, even a child, you know, we've seen small children can chant. Even a dog sometimes tries to chant. Or at least they like to chant. Many stories of dogs who came and always came for kirtans and they come around and so forth. All right. Do you have any questions? Is that all right there? You satisfied? Huh? Now we want.
I'm very satisfied.
Oh, good.
Content.
Good. Tushti. That's the result of chanting. You get tushti, pushti. You get satisfied. You get nourished. You get relief, detachment from material desires and painful, you know, ideas, and you get bliss in Krishna consciousness. Any questions? Yeah. Here first. Throw the tie. Yeah. Rama is also a name of Krishna. Yeah, because the internal energy, you know, that Rama is like, you know, Radhika Rama. That it means the great spiritual pleasure. So it's the name of Krishna, but Balarama is Krishna also. And there's, Prabhupada wrote in one purport that some sannyasis were arguing or just discussing anyway if it's Lord Ram or Balaram you should think of when you chant Hari Rama. And then Prabhupada said it's a stupid question, but either one is all right. Hare means the, you know, can mean Radha, the internal devotional energy of the Lord, the Rajini Shakti. We want to serve. So to, we're praying to Krishna, let me serve you, because we're serving Krishna's inferior energy, but why not serve, you know, the superior energy of Krishna? Get the benefit of that. So that's what we're asking. Jalangi. Not sometimes, something in the material world.
Yeah.
That's what Arjuna asked Krishna, isn't it? What if you try for spiritual but you don't make it? So you've given up the material but you didn't make it to spiritual, then you'll be like nowhere. Like in the Superman comics, they used to have this, they call it the negative zone or something. And they would send the criminals to somewhere where they're just nowhere. They exist, but they're nowhere. So we think like that's what Arjuna said. But Krishna said, one who does good is never overcome by evil. That, you know, we're thinking we're going to lose, but like one time Jayadvaita Swami went for a walk early in the morning in New York to the temple, and the police car, they pulled up and they said, what do you have to do to be Hare Krishna? So he said, you have to give up all suffering. And the policeman said, that sounds good. And they went to the temple and bought some books. But that's, you know, why are we afraid to give up suffering? We're so attached to suffering. We've been suffering for so long, we think, how can I give it up? The simple drama that devotees used to do, I don't know if you still do it. I remember it when I was just a new devotee and the Trivikam Maharaj came through the temple on his way to Japan, so they did this drama. It was that three guys are carrying a big heavy load, stones or something. You know that one? So there was a kirtan party on the other side of the river and they said, come on, come on. And they went, no, no, but we have to carry these stones. My father carried stones. My grandfather carried stones. I've been carrying them my whole life. Everything depends on this. So the one guy just walked away with his stones. Then the other one, the next one, thought, you know, finally jumped in the river with the stones and drowned. You know, he thought he'd take the... Then the last one got smart and threw away the stones and swam across and joined the kirtan. So we're attached. But what do we have to lose? We have to lose, you know, suffering. And it's just like anything. If you want to swim, you have to get off the shore. Right? You have to get in the water. If you try to 1 foot in the water, and you're not, it doesn't work so good. So the chanting itself cures everything. So we need to make that effort, hearing about Krishna, associating with the, you know, find someone who has faith in the holy name and associate with, you know, seek that kind of association. Just like for anything, if somebody wants to learn music, they seek musicians, you know, associate. If you want to learn football, they associate with people who play football. They have clubs. So if we want to, you know, get a taste for chanting, we have to find some people who do and associate and chant. And then we will get purified and we'll realize how happy we are to give up things. I remember when I first came to the temple, I had long hair. And, you know, that had been a big attachment because there was a lot of, you know, opposition to having long hair when you were a kid and everything. So finally we had the freedom to have long hair. And I was really attached, I mean, to the point where I didn't take jobs because they wouldn't allow, you know, long hair. So when I first went to the temple, I didn't want to cut that hair off. And I was thinking, well, I will show that, you know, you don't have to shave your head to be a Hare Krishna. And when I finally cut it off, I looked at it laying on the floor and I was thinking, my God, how would I attach to that? It was really stupid, you know. But, you know, while it was attached, I was just thinking, this is so important. It's my identity. So this whole body is like that. We eventually have to give up the body. You know, so like our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I don't have the book, but he did get one called Die Before You Die, because he knew he was going to have to leave his body. It's deteriorating, you know. And so he was analyzing how you have to, you know, before you actually have to leave it, if you've given up all the attachment, that makes life a lot easier. So by becoming attached to Krishna, whatever, you know, about Krishna attracts us, if it's just the Bhagavad Gita, or if it's Krishna Leela, if it's prasadam, kirtan, but cultivate whatever it is that we like about Krishna and cultivate it more and more, and then automatically we'll become detached. Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Then automatically knowledge and renunciation come when we practice Bhakti Yoga. We'll be happy to give up the, you know, the suffering. Because the Maya is so strong. You look at the cigarette packs now in Europe, right? I mean, you know, more than half the package is telling you that it's going to kill you and give you all these diseases, and big letters like no one can miss it. But still, they're smoking. I can't give that up. It's like, my mother was very addicted to smoking, and my sister was so disturbed and worried about her. And she said, I know I can live longer, but I'd rather die than not smoke. And so many people are like that. You know, that's just a Prabhupada said, you want to know what is Maya? The cigarette is Maya. You know, where they sell them, there's big signs, this will kill you. This will cause slow and painful death. Different countries, they put different things, you know. In some places, they say it will cause impotence, you know, because men are always afraid of that. So. Cause miscarriages. It'll cause, you know, all these things. But they don't care. They just smoke. You know. But we need a higher taste. So by getting that, cultivating whatever it is that about Krishna that we are attracted to, you know, just try to do it more and more. It takes an effort. By hearing about Krishna, like the demons in Vrindavan, don't ask me to give you the exact references, but you know, we have different bad qualities, you know, cheating propensity, this propensity. That. So by hearing about Krishna's killing of the demons, automatically we can get freed from those stupid things. So just keep hearing about Krishna, keep chanting, eat prasadam. Associate, the most important thing, associate with devotees, because then we'll automatically, you know, be chanting. All right? More? Yeah. Yeah, we want service, but a chant also. No, but you'll get more chanting. If you chant, you will keep chanting, in other words. Not that you'll get, you know, all kinds of material benefits. And what most service while you're doing it, you can chant while you're doing it. Huh? Yeah. Or even out loud, you know, if you're just washing pots or something. So much cooking or whatever, you know, you can chant. And if you're preaching, if that's your service, that's chanting. As, you know, there's different kinds of kirtan, so if you're just talking about Krishna, that's also chanting. So you get more. And, you know, sometimes the mind is tricky, so someone thinks, well, I have so much, I'm so important, my work is so important, I can't chant my rounds or something. That's a trick. You always have to be careful to chant, take some endeavor. But Krishna will always help. So Prabhupada, one reporter in India was a little puffed up. He was saying something. Well, I see that your disciples, they're not chanting all the time. And then Prabhupada said, well, that takes practice. He said, just like I'm talking to you, but I'm chanting. So I was thinking about that, but the mind is like, you know, like a computer can do many things at the same time. Call it multitasking. You know, you can start downloading something from the internet and then you can do something else. So, we all experience it while we're chanting. We can think, we can be chanting, and it sounds like we're chanting. Other people will hear us, but the mind is doing so many other things. Right? So that's in the advanced stage. We can be doing other things, but always chanting. The mind will never stop chanting, even in the sleep. And we just keep practicing, regularly doing whatever we can. Krishna will always help. And even if we're not purified, not perfected, but at the time of death, if we've been trying, then Krishna will come and take. Okay? That's enough? All right? Huh?
Thank you also for your
example. Pretending to chant. But even if you, you know, you don't have a taste for chanting, but if you just chant anyway, then the taste will come. That's an advanced stage, actually. But if we just understand, okay, and just like people have faith in anything, so they do it, that they'll get some results. So we take it on the authority of the acharyas and scriptures, and that if we just practice this Krishna conscious practice, we will get that result. We can become perfected. Prabhupada promised like that. You can actually become perfect. And the preaching of many other bogus religionists was, you know, there's no, you can't become perfect, so you don't even try. Give your donation, right? But you can. The soul is perfect, and we're just covered over. And by associating with Krishna, we'll get uncovered. All right. Is that enough? Can you chant a little more? Huh? Now who will chant now? Because I know we have lots of experts. Huh?
You
okay.
Have to,
yeah,
you
we have to stop for the neighbors or something. Huh? Huh? You want to stop? Have to have prasad now? Can't chant a little more?